The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I'll be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church, USA. Our readings on this program cover the week of Monday, September 11th through Sunday, September 17th, 2023. The commentary for September was written by Catherine Nishibayashi, a fourth-generation member of St. Mary's Episcopal Church in Los Angeles and a graduate of the Church Divinity School of the Pacific. Prior to seminary, she spent 12 years as an elementary school teacher. When not busy with church activities, she enjoys reading, singing, and watching Dodgers baseball. The commentary for Monday, September 11th, begins as follows with a passage from the book of Philippians. Monday, September 11th, "And this is my prayer, that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight, to help you determine what really matters, so that in the day of Christ you may be pure and blameless." Here's the commentary. Paul puts his finger on a perennial issue in this prayer. How do people and communities determine what really matters? The phrase in Greek connotes discernment as well as making evident, searching, and assessing as well as showing. Paul expresses a twofold hope for the community gathered in Christ in Philippi: to perceive more clearly what matters most and to bear witness to what matters so that others may perceive it too. Every day I run into a multitude of messages about what to value. I gravitate toward tools like researching or taking time for personal reflection when discernment is my goal. But Paul appeals to love, specifically the love among members of the Philippian church, as a vital guide for discerning what really matters. Communal love is the source of the knowledge that the community needs. Paul's words encourage us to recognize that a community of love is not a means to discerning something else. It is the very knowledge that we need. And now I'll read from this full passage for today, Philippians 1, verses 1 through 11. "Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi with the bishops and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you, constantly praying with joy in every one of my prayers for all of you, because of your sharing in the gospel from the first day until now. I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion by the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to think this way about all of you, because you hold me in your heart. For all of you share in God's grace with me, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness how I long for all of you with the compassion of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight, to help you determine what is best, so that in the day of Christ you may be pure and blameless, having produced the harvest of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and praise of God." And the moving forward question for this Monday, September 11th, is, what tools do you use in discernment? Now let's turn to the commentary for Tuesday, September 12th. It begins with a passage from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 16, verse 8. So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Once, around the age of 20, I read the whole Gospel of Mark. It wasn't the first time I had read that Gospel. On that night, however, when I reached the end at 16:8, I experienced a wave of fear like the women did at the empty tomb. I don't know why I had that reaction that day. Somehow I got caught up in Mark's story like I never had before. As a lifelong participant in grand Easter Sunday celebrations, I had always thought that the resurrection of Jesus was supposed to evoke joy. But resurrection defies everything about the way the world works. When I sit with that truth, I get the women's terror and amazement. I can easily imagine going into flight mode, experiencing shock, confoundedness, and fear right with the women at the tomb. I also believe that such reactions to such an unfathomable act of an incomprehensible God are faithful too. And now I'll read the full passage from today, the Gospel of Mark. This is chapter 16, verses 1 through 8. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. The moving forward question for this day is, first, consider reading the whole Gospel of Mark. It's the shortest of the four. What is your response to the women's initial reaction? The commentary for Wednesday, September 13th, begins with a passage from Psalm 119, verse 54. "Your statutes have been like songs to me wherever I have lived as a stranger." I have always enjoyed singing. As a child, I would sing along to the music on the radio or cassette tapes in the car. I learned to memorize melodies quickly, and many tunes from youth are so lodged in my brain and vocal cords that they feel unforgettable to me. Among the songs I remember most are hymns. My childhood church would sing every verse of a hymn as well as the chorus after every verse, and sometimes we would repeat a verse or chorus multiple times. At first, the repetitions wore out my 9-year-old lungs, but at some point they became like a meditative practice that helped me focus on what I was singing. As I read this verse in Psalm 119, I am curious about the psalmist's song traditions. I wonder if the comparison of God's statutes to songs is about meditating or remembering. I wonder if the psalmist experiences a more transformative work through these statutes, a liberating melody that some might view as a stranger. And now I'm going to read the full passage from Psalm 119 from verse 49 through 72. Remember your word to your servant, in which you have made me hope. This is my comfort in my distress, that your promise gives me life. The arrogant utterly deride me, but I do not turn away from your law. When I think of your ordinances from of old, I take comfort, O Lord. Hot indignation seizes me because of the wicked, those who forsake your law. Your statutes have been my songs wherever I make my home. I remember your name in the night, O Lord, and keep your law. This blessing has fallen to me, for I have kept your precepts. The Lord is my portion. I promise to keep your words. I implore your favor with all my heart. Be gracious to me according to your promise. When I think of your ways, I turn my feet to your decrees. I hurry and do not delay to keep your commandments. Though the cords of the wicked ensnare me, I do not forget your law. At midnight, I rise to praise you because of your righteous ordinances. I am a companion of all who fear you, of those who keep your precepts. The earth, O Lord, is full of your steadfast love. Teach me your statutes. You have dealt well with your servant, O Lord, according to your word, teaching me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe in your commandments. Before I was humbled, I went astray, but now I keep your word. You are good and do good. Teach me your statutes. The arrogant smear me with lies, but with my whole heart I keep your precepts. Their hearts are fat and gross, but I delight in your law. It is good for me that I was humbled, so that I might learn your statutes. The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver pieces. And the moving forward question for this Wednesday, September 13th, is, what songs or hymns bring you comfort? Today's commentary for Thursday, September 14th, which is Holy Cross Day, begins with a passage from Galatians 6, verse 14. May I never boast of anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. I have longed for meaning in inscrutable and senseless events. I have tried to build coherent explanations for the unexplainable because I don't want heartache, suffering, or loss to be an abrupt ending to a story that can't be finished. But Paul's words express more than a desire to make meaning of an inexplicable situation. Paul proclaims Jesus' cross as a site where both the imperial world's constructions of meaning and his own have been put to death. He refuses to accept that Christ died for nothing, as he says in Galatians 2, verse 21, because Jesus' death transformed meaning and instigated a new creation for everyone, including Paul. Jesus changed Paul forever. Jesus enables Jews and Gentiles to become one. His cross is more than an empire, more than the world can handle. And now I'm going to read the full passage from the book of Galatians, chapter 6. This is verses 14 through 18. May I never boast of anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For neither circumcision nor uncircumcision is anything, but a new creation is everything. As for those who will follow this rule, peace be upon them, and mercy, and upon the Israel of God. From now on, let no one make trouble for me, for I carry the marks of Jesus branded on my body. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers and sisters. Amen. And the moving forward question for today is Holy Cross Day, one of the major feasts in the Episcopal Church. If you can, attend a worship service today and then reflect on the lessons of the cross. The commentary for Friday, September 15th, begins with a passage from Psalm 40, verses 5 to 6. Great things are they that you have done, O Lord my God. How great your wonders and how your plans for us. There is none who can be compared with you. Oh, that I could make them known and tell them, but they are more than I can count. Here's the commentary. Has someone ever asked you to tell them about a loved one, and you are at a loss for words? Sometimes I launch into a monologue about someone dear to me and feel like every word misses the mark. Not even 10 stories can begin to show someone what a loved one is like. The details of the everyday need exposition as much as the monumental events, and highlighting them all seems impossible. The psalmist's exclamation, "Oh, that I could make them known and tell them," exudes the love of someone who has witnessed God's great things firsthand and yearns to detail every moment to others. It's a love forged not just in good times together, but in the pit, where God's presence means more than words can express. With such love, a funny thing can happen. As love tries to speak, it eludes communication. Yet when it becomes known, the words often end up not mattering anyway. And now I'm going to read the full passage from the Psalm 40. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. He drew me up from the desolate pit, out of the miry bog, and set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Happy are those who make the Lord their trust, who do not turn to the proud, to those who go astray after false gods. You have multiplied, O Lord my God, your wondrous deeds and your thoughts toward us. None can compare with you. Were I to proclaim and tell of them, they would be more than can be counted. Sacrifice and offering you do not desire, but you have given me an open ear. Burnt offering and sin offering you have not required. Then I said, "Here I am. In the scroll of the book it is written of me. I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. I have told the glad news of deliverance in the great congregation. See, I have not restrained my lips, as you know, O Lord. I have not hidden your saving help within my heart. I have spoken of your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your steadfast love and your faithfulness from the great congregation. Do not, O Lord, withhold your mercy from me. Let your steadfast love and your faithfulness keep me safe forever. For evils have encompassed me without number. My iniquities have overtaken me until I cannot see. They are more than the hairs of my head, and my heart fails me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me, O Lord. Make haste to help me. Let all those be put to shame and confusion who seek to snatch away my life. Let those be turned back and brought to dishonor who desire my hurt. Let those be appalled because of their shame who say to me, 'Aha, aha.' But may all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who love your salvation say continually, 'Great is the Lord.' As for me, I am poor and needy, but the Lord takes thought for me. You are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, O my God." And the moving forward suggestion for this day is think of a way to express your love of a family member or friend without using words. The commentary for Saturday, September 16th, begins with a passage from Philippians 3, verse 21. He will transform the body of our humiliation so that it may be conformed to the body of his glory, by the power that also enables him to make all things subject to himself. What kind of body work does the risen Jesus do? Paul's imagery proclaims a hope for more than life after death. It offers a vision of Christ doing the therapeutic work with bodies. I picture Jesus as physical therapist approaching people who have experienced the body work of social and political humiliation in this world. I imagine him teaching them to breathe in resurrection life like him. I envision him showing them with his own body how to loosen tense muscles and move in new ways with him. I encounter a patient devoted to Jesus who knows what their bodies need and who wants them to feel glory in their bones with him. I don't know what resurrection of the body will mean, but this imagery points me to the divine love that declares bodies are worth resurrecting. It gives me hope for the life of our bodies were made for. Full, vibrant life with God that neither humiliation nor death can touch. And now I'm going to read the full chapter of Philippians, chapter 3, 17 through chapter 4, verse 7. Brothers and sisters, join in imitating me and observe those who live according to the example you have in us. For many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. I have often told you of them, and now I tell you even with tears. Their end is destruction. Their God is the belly, and their glory is in their shame. Their minds are set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and it is from there that we are expecting a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He will transform the body of our humiliation, that it may be conformed to the body of his glory, by the power that also enables him to make all things subject to himself. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord, in this way, my beloved. I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you also, my loyal companion, help these women, for they have struggled beside me in the work of the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ. And the moving forward statement for this day is, imagine Jesus as physical therapist, helping to work out the aches and pains and restore us to full health. And we've reached the end of this week, the commentary for Sunday, September 17th, which is the 16th Sunday after Pentecost, begins with a verse from Romans 14, verse 8. If we live to the Lord, and if we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. Christian community is hard work. Certainly it is a gift and source of joy and support. It is also committee communication struggles, disparate worship preferences, and contrasting ethical convictions. When members gravitate toward different opinions about how to be faithful, a crucial question can arise, What is Christian community really about? Paul's comments underscore two points. First, God's welcome of every member means members are to welcome one another too. Second, because members live to the Lord together, their opinions not only affect themselves, but also members' relationships with one another. What I take from these instructions is a call to let difference flourish without antagonism or condescension between members. Christian community is neither homogeneous nor anything goes. It involves supporting God's different ways of welcoming and working in one another's lives. And now I'll read the full passage from Romans 14, verses 1 through 12. Welcome those who are weak in faith, but not for the purpose of quarreling over opinions. Some believe in eating anything, while the weak eat only vegetables. Those who eat must not despise those who abstain, and those who abstain must not pass judgment on those who eat, for God has welcomed them. Who are you to pass judgment on servants of another? It is before their own Lord that they stand or fall, and they will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make them stand. Some judge one day to be better than another, while others judge all days to be alike. Let all be fully convinced in their own minds. Those who observe the day observe it in honor of the Lord. Also those who eat, eat in honor of the Lord, since they give thanks to God, while those who abstain, abstain in honor of the Lord and give thanks to God. We do not live to ourselves, and we do not die to ourselves. If we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and lived again, so that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. Why do you pass judgment on your brother or sister? Or you, why do you despise your brother or sister? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall give praise to God. So then, each of us will be accountable to God. And the moving forward question for this Sunday, is your congregation mired in disagreements, or does it seek to avoid controversy? What are some healthy ways of engagement? And that's all the time we have for today's episode of Reflections Day by Day. Let's close with a special prayer from Father Richard Rohr, founder of the Center for Action and Contemplation in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Creator God, O great love, thank you for living in us and through us. May all that we do flow directly from our deep connection with you and other beings. Help us become a community that shares each other's burdens and the weight of glory. Listen to our hearts' longings for the healing of our world. Knowing that you're hearing us much better than we are speaking, we offer this prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and in all the holy names of God. I'm George Douglas. Thanks for joining me today for Reflections Day by Day. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Goodbye until next time.